Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. That means Lee Kelly is in studio with me for the show today. And Lee, another IU game on the road and another IU loss on the road at Rutgers last night. Not completely surprised by the loss, but I think what's most concerning and most upsetting to IU fans is how this team is losing, how they are playing, how they are shooting the ball, the lack thereof of being able to shoot from the perimeter. And then, of course, you got to look at senior leadership, specifically Devontae Green, 0-for on the night, only took 4 shots on the night, only played 15 minutes on the night, almost like he reverted back to the Northwestern game about a week ago after a solid performance against Ohio State on Saturday. Understand not winning at Rutgers, of course, 12-0 start, sold out rack. I get all that. Hard to understand some of the things about this team and how they play as they lose once again last night.
It was not, once again, a fun game to watch. And I give credit to Rutgers. They had a nice crowd. Their students were in the game and involved, and they were having fun. I think it seats 8,000 people at the Rock, and it was a fun atmosphere for Rutgers. But IU, 10% shooting from 3-point range just blows my mind. And if these guys were never able to hit from the outside, I would say, okay, they're just not good shooters. But we've seen in high school and in college, they've been able to put the ball in the basket from 3-point range. What changes? What happens? Were they contested shots? Yeah, in some cases, but a lot of them were wide open looks at the basket that just would not go down. I don't know. I'm sure as much as fans we scratch our heads, Archie's probably pulling his hair out on a daily basis.
Yeah, last night not only a bad shooting night, but Indiana's worst offensive performance of the year as well. And again, I talked some yesterday with Dustin Dopierak about playing on the road in the Big Ten Conference. And really, in high major college basketball, playing on the road is tough. I mean, I've never done it outside of the Big Ten. It's always fun to look at. And I think there have been 4 or 5 Big Ten teams so far this season that have went on the road and actually won a conference game, which is not a lot when you look at the number of games as we sit here in mid-January that have been played. So I get some of the shooting woes on the road. I totally understand the bad starts. I mean, Indiana's able to use that home crowd and Assembly Hall to their advantage. I think Saturday is a great example of that with all the energy that was in the building and the former players there. And obviously we talk about 8,000 people sold out at the Rutgers game. Imagine what they feel like coming to Assembly Hall when that place is at capacity or near capacity and is rocking. So some of it I get, but the poor shooting continually for this team, I guess Saturday was a little better and it was at home, but the poor shooting continually for this team is just remarkable. And it's hard to understand, and it's concerning, I think, as you look at what's ahead for this team, not just on the road but at home as well, and how tough the conference is and all these teams beating up on each other and how close the race could be for a lot of Big Ten teams to get into the NCAA tournament this year. Every one of these games matters. And, again, I said yesterday I really didn't expect Indiana to win last night. I guess maybe if we're looking at positives, two things that I take away from last night, defense I thought was not bad. There have been some improvements there, I think, with Indiana's defense, and we're going to talk about that today. But one other thing is, when you get down on the road, whether it's 12-0 to start the game, I thought it was great Indiana made a comeback. I thought they battled. I thought even when they got down again in the second half, they cut it to 7 points maybe with 5 minutes, something left in the game. I thought those were great stretches for Indiana. Maybe they didn't play great at times. Maybe they didn't shoot the ball great even during those stretches. But the fact that they let a 12-point deficit or a double-digit deficit, they kept it there. They fought back. They made it closer, unlike Maryland just a couple weeks ago or just a week and a half ago, where when they got down, it got worse. And so if you're looking for positives from last night, yes, it was at Rutgers. Boy, they are better than what they have been. Yeah. And we've seen that coming, I think, the last couple of years. But they are a much better team. They are going to finish, I think, very reasonably in the Big Ten Conference. But, again, two things. Defense better last night. And thankfully, they just didn't let themselves get railroaded completely to an embarrassing loss where they really weren't even in the game after a bad start like what happened at Maryland. So interesting days ahead. This Nebraska game, I think it's a – I say this a lot. I said this about Northwestern at home. I didn't say it about Ohio State at home. I didn't say it about Rutgers on the road yesterday, but the Nebraska game I think is a must-win game. You had to beat Northwestern on your home court. Getting to the point where there's still plenty of basketball to be played, and I'm sure lots of surprises in this crazy Big Ten Conference that we follow every day. But you're getting to the point where you're going to need to win some road games to make some things up here, and what an opportunity to win at Nebraska in their next game. So Rutgers, a tough one, and we're going to talk a lot about that game in the show today, but this Indiana team continues to be very frustrating, namely Devontae Green. Damn, he is frustrating. I don't know any other way to say it, but what a frustrating player to have. He's got a little bit of an attitude. I think we've all recognized that. He has some great games, which are really fun to watch because when he's stroking it, hitting it, he's really good. And when he's off, he's bad all the way around. It's just like there's no middle with him. But very frustrating game last night, even in a loss that I don't think is a bad loss, still a frustrating effort by Indiana.
Yeah, and Archie's made the comment that Indiana goes as Devontae goes. And
scary.
I'd hate to have my job riding on Devontae Green. And I know he doesn't do it on purpose. I know he goes out there and tries to give the effort. But some games you just look at him and go, wow. What's going on? There is one player that I enjoy watching. He is not a superstar. He will never be a superstar. Joey Brunk gives it everything he's got every minute he's on the floor. I like watching the young man play because he gives you an all-out effort. He's not a totally gifted player. He's playing in the Big Ten, a major university. He starts, so he's good. Don't misunderstand. But he's not what you would call an elite athlete. But, man, he works hard out on the floor, and he tries so hard to at both ends of the court. So I know Devontae gives an effort, but man, Joey just – he's fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you. Welcome into this Thursday show. Lee Kelly with me. Let's look at today's show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, as always, we have our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday program. We'll take a look a little bit more in depth at some of the happenings in the IU's loss last night at Rutgers. Also, we will talk about Kobe Barnes at Floyd Central. He had a good game last night for Indiana State as they recorded a big win over conference rival Evansville. Also coming up in our headlines, I know Lee Kelly wants to talk about Kentucky's loss last night against South Carolina. Romeo's back as well. My daily Romeo track here has fell off the last week or so and a little bit through the holidays, but he was ill. He's back. He logged some minutes last night. We're going to talk about that. And then also a little bit about this coming weekend. Excited about Jeffersonville and Floyd Central. That's kind of the highlight game of the weekend as high school basketball and that season rolls along. We'll do all that in segment one. Then later in the program, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join us. We'll recap last night's IU Rutgers game, and we're going to have to go ahead and look ahead for this Indiana team to what's next when they go on the road to Nebraska coming up. So we'll do that. Lots of breakdown on individual players on the team. I want to talk to Alex about the shooting woes that continue, and some of maybe the bright spots, if you can find bright spots in a loss, about the defense as well. So stay with us for that. Alex is always insightful and fun to have on Thursdays, and it's a real treat to get him the day after a game to break things down. Of course, inside the Hall website, you can find lots of his coverage there as well. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you. Don't forget, you can interact with the show, submit a comment, a question. It might get read on the air. You can follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me a question or comment there. You can also follow the show's page on Facebook. Just search on Facebook, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you can leave a message for us there as well. We might use it as a question for Alex or read your comment on the air in today's program. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. 59-50, the final score last night. Just a quick recap of the game. Indiana found themselves trailing 12-0 early in the game at a sold-out Rutgers gym, sold-out Rutgers Arena. But they battled back to much surprise and to a delightful surprise, I think, to take a 22-21 lead later on in the first half. Rutgers would go on to close the first half on a 10-2 run, take a 7-point lead into halftime. Rutgers did come back, I thought, and opened the second half strong as well. Although, with 5 minutes and something left, Indiana was in the midst of a run of battling back, which we, again, don't see sometime in the second half of games when Indiana's playing from behind. And they cut the Rutgers lead to just 7 points, which was pretty impressive. Although Rutgers from that point forward would go on to extend their lead back into double digits and hang on to win in that contest. Player of the game for Indiana, I like your thoughts on Joey Brunk with how hard that he plays and what he brings to the team. He did reach double figures, 10 points on 5 of 10 shooting last night. Probably most importantly, in addition to his scoring, he pulled down 10 rebounds as well. He logged 32 minutes last night for Indiana. Justin Smith, he was the top scorer for Indiana. He had 15 points, 7 rebounds. He played 36 of 40 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field and also an important 3 of 4 from the free throw line. So I think Smith and Brunk last night, probably the standouts for Indiana in a loss on the road. And I don't think you can talk about the box score last night without highlighting some of the negatives. And I mentioned this, we mentioned this, Lee, at the top of the show. Devontae Green, 0 points. He was 0 from 4 from the field, 0 from 3 from three-point range. So 3 of his 4 shots were three-pointers. He basically had goose eggs across the rest of the way except for one foul and two turnovers and one personal foul. And, again, we see him play 15 minutes. He was essentially benched a week ago to the day when Indiana hosted Northwestern last Wednesday night, and his minutes really dwindled last night as he continues to be, as we've discussed, a very frustrating player for Indiana. Looking at the box score, some good things, some bad things also for this Indiana team. I should also mention Al Durham, 10 points last night as well.
Yeah, it wasn't a classic performance. It's frustrating as fans, and I know it's frustrating for the players, for the coaches, so on, to see the shots go up from the outside, an open look, and some of them are close, some of them rattle around, some of them just brick, and it's not a good thing. I don't know what's going on this basketball season, but it's a strange year. Maybe parity is throughout. And the Big Ten, obviously, from top to bottom, is better maybe than it has been in recent years. I've heard two different people talk about the Big Ten could get 12 teams into the NCAA tournament. If it were to be held today, this is where they are at in the national rankings and stats that are looked at for including teams. So the Big Ten's better. I mean, Rutgers is a good ball club. I haven't always said that, but they're a good ball club. Nebraska is a good ball club, and so I think that's part of it. I watch Michigan State absolutely get obliterated by Purdue, and I thought they quit. Probably the last 10 minutes of that game, they were getting beat, but they let it get totally out of hand. So one of those years that is just really unusual.
Lee Kelly with me here as we recap IU and Rutgers last night. A few other takeaways from the game. Again, the defense for this team better. The shooting continues to be a major problem, especially from the perimeter. I tell you, that's concerning. I mean, it just there's no flat way around it, home or away. I know, again, you could say maybe it was a reprieve against Ohio State, a little better shooting, but still a big concern, I think, for this Indiana team moving forward into some of these Big Ten games has to be the shooting of this team. There just isn't a player right now that I can think of. Normally you've got that one or that two that you can think of where, okay, that's our go-to shooter. Even when the team is ice cold, even when the team has some dismal percentages that we can go to so-and-so and he can knock down a three. He might not be able to do anything else like a Ryan McMahon for Louisville that you know is a liability in ACC games in many, many cases, but he's able to earn time, earn a spot because he can shoot and shoot fairly consistently. He doesn't always have great games. He doesn't always have, you know, a whole bunch of outside shots, but pretty reasonably, he's going to contribute something from there. And right now, at least, especially with this Indiana team, on a regular basis, game in and game out, home games, away games, good shooting gyms, tough shooting gyms, sold out crowds, empty gyms, whatever the case may be, you just can't name anybody, can you?
No. I mean, I think back to last year, especially the tournament, there were so many players lighting it up. Kyle Guy, Indiana kid that went to Virginia, that was lighting it up. Purdue had Carson Edwards and, help me out, the other player from Indiana they had.
Ryan Klein. Jim Shannon's nephew.
Yeah. I mean, I think back to those guys, oh, my goodness, they could shoot the ball from the outside, not just in the tournament, but we saw them more on TV then than we have. Almost every team had a couple of guys that could just light it up from the outside. I can't think of one this year that and there's been a lot of injuries. Rutgers got a kid back last night for the first time in three weeks.
Geo Baker should mention that. Just before the game, it was reported he was cleared to play or looked like he would play, and there was no sign of that, I don't think, at all heading into the game.
Now, Archie did say in his post-game conference that they had prepared a scouting report for him because they thought that possibility was there. So it's not like they got caught off guard necessarily, but he had a pretty good game, and it's just, I don't know. There aren't shooters. Maybe moving the line back has had an effect on that. More than likely, most of those guys last year weren't shooting right on the line anyway, so I'm not sure you can blame it on the line getting moved back, but I just don't see shooters like we saw last year.
Yeah, I agree. A couple other things as we move along in the Zaxby's headlines. Romeo Langford, he had missed. I've had some people say, hey, Romeo wasn't even on the bench there for a couple games. Did he get sent back down to Maine? Where's he been at? Is he hurt again? No, the answer to all of that. He was on, and I mentioned this some, a couple days of his illness, but he was on their injured list as sick, out. Just said out with an illness. And obviously you have to assume probably trying to quarantine a little bit. There was some illness from other players on that list as well, so probably just something going around the team. He missed a couple games. In fact, he wasn't even at a couple games, but Lee Kelly back last night was Romeo Langford.
Yeah, I think he had 12 minutes played last night. He had 2 points and 3 rebounds in his limited time, but building himself back up again. I'm not sure I've ever seen a player in any sport have the bad luck that this young man has had to this point, and he keeps coming right back. As soon as they clear him to get back in, he gets minutes in those games. Now, he's not starting, and he's not playing 40 minutes and so on and so on, but he got 12 minutes last night, and, this is a pretty good ball club that he's looking for minutes on.
Yeah, no question about it. Glad to see him back. And again, glad to see him getting some minutes. Let's hope that that continues and that he can have some breakthroughs here as the NBA season moves along. Other quick headlines to mention here on this Thursday program. I know that you wanted to mention the Kentucky loss last night. You want to talk about an up and down emotional roller coaster of a game, especially in those final few segments. Kentucky goes down, ties the game up. Then South Carolina comes down, wins the game on a three-pointer. I didn't see it. The three-pointer bank in, is that correct?
Three-pointer banked in from the top of the circle. And, of course, not this young man, I think, had five or six threes on the night. So it's not like he's not a good shooter, but that particular shot in a hurry banked in, I think. And South Carolina, again, winning at home, exactly what we've been talking about. It's tough all over. It's not just the Big Ten where they're having trouble winning on the road. It's just one of those things. Clemson knocked off Duke. South Carolina knocks off Kentucky. Good night for South Carolina the last couple of days here.
Absolutely. Final headline, too, or actually a couple quick things I want to hit. Kobe Barnes last night with his best conference game for Indiana State, the Floyd Central product last night. Helped the Indiana State Sycamores to a 65-42 win over Evansville. Hard to believe it's the same Evansville team that won at Rupp Arena. Of course, they're going through a lot with Coach McCarty suspended. I don't know that he will be back. But Barnes with his best conference game, 9 points, 5 rebounds. He was 4 of 5 from the field, had 1 three-pointer. That's a nice game in that conference for a freshman.
Indiana State, I've watched them on TV a couple of times for short periods of time. They got a veteran ball club. I mean, it's going in, I thought he would maybe get more minutes than he's gotten at times. But as I've watched them play and listened to the announcers talk about that team, they've got some young men that have played quite a bit of basketball at the college level. So he's working his way in more and more, it seems like. But congratulations to him on a good night.
And also high school basketball this week. Floyd Central, Jeffersonville. We retreated to a great New Albany Jeff game last week. We're going to be talking more about some of the high school matchups later. But I'll be surprised, and I bring this up because I want your opinion, I'll be surprised if it's not a close game. I know that Jeff, again, on paper, you might have to say is the favorite. They might have more talent across the roster than the Highlanders. But I think with Jake Hyde-Breeder, I think with this Floyd Central team, they'll be able to hang in there. And I expect another really kind of thrilling game, to be quite honest.
I agree. I was pleased with that game. It was fun to watch Jeff New Albany. And I think anytime you've got Jake Hyde-Breeder as your starting point guard, unless something happens, foul trouble or something like that, he's going to keep you in the ball game, and not necessarily totally with his scoring, although he scores a great deal when they need it the most. But that young man can set up other players for open looks at the basket. I've always been impressed with him, but this season it's obvious this is his Highlander team. And he puts them on his back and gets them down the road pretty nicely as the leader of that team. I think at Floyd Central, it'll be a heck of a ball game. I certainly think fans should go get their tickets and set in for a very good high school basketball game.
Yeah, I agree. More on that coming up. That's the headlines, the Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Don't forget to stop by Zaxby's with locations in Jeff and New Albany, home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. We'll head to a commercial break. Lots more on IU basketball, more on IU Rutgers. We'll even look ahead at IU Nebraska with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. After this, on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Thursday program. Matt Dennison, Lee Kelly with you here on the Hoosier Report. And Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with us, as always, on Thursdays as we talk IU basketball. And obviously a lot to talk about last night coming out of Indiana's loss at Rutgers. Alex, once again, a disappointing game. I can deal, and I think lots of people can deal with a loss on the road. It's a good Rutgers team. It's a much improved program. But sometimes it's not really the losses for this Indiana team that I think are the most frustrating thing, but it's often the way they perform or the way they lose the game.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of, joy as a fan if you're watching that game to watch a team shoot 2 of 19 on threes. It's tough to watch. As I listened to the first segment with you guys talking, and Lee mentioned the 10% shooting from 3-point range. You're just not going to beat anybody good shooting the ball like that. And Indiana did play well enough, I thought, defensively last night to be in the game and hang around, and their defense does continue to get better, but the offense seems to be going in the opposite direction, which is a problem, especially on the road in the Big Ten, because there's just so many tough environments to play in, and there's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of good coaching. I mean, there's 12 teams right now in the Big Ten in the top 40 of the KenPom rankings, and so much of my analysis and so much of that study in college basketball is based on KenPom. That tells me this league is as deep as it's been in a long time. There's a lot of quality teams, and if you don't bring an A-plus effort on the road, you're not going to win. Indiana gave about a C to a C-plus last night, and they got kind of what they deserved in that game. They turned the ball over too much. They didn't shoot it well from the perimeter. And, you come out and you give up a 12-0 lead, and they were able to bounce back from that. And then they give up another 10-2 run to end the first half, and Rutgers never trailed after that. I mean, Rutgers was basically in control of the game the whole time. And it wasn't that Indiana played awful. I thought they played better than they did, obviously, at Wisconsin and at Maryland. So it's progress in that regard, but it's still a loss. And it's an 0-3 record now in road games this season.
And it's not just IU. It's not just the Big Ten. We're seeing teams in the Power Five conferences that are going on the road and getting beat as well. Duke getting beat at Clemson. Kentucky gets beat at South Carolina. I saw part of that Michigan State game at Purdue, and they just got walloped. I mean, it's an unusual year across the board, it seems like, in college basketball. And I'm upset the way Indiana's playing at times, but it's kind of fun to see the underdogs jump up and bite the big teams every once in a while as well.
Yeah, I mean, the thing you have to remember, too, about this is, you know, the couple of the losses that you mentioned there, Clemson, South Carolina, those teams are a lot worse than the top 12 teams in the Big Ten right now. I mean, Rutgers is ranked 28th in Ken Palma. I mean, if you weren't following college basketball closely this year and you saw Indiana lost to Rutgers on the road, say, wow, that's a bad loss. Well, actually, you know, they're a good team. They beat Seton Hall, who just went to Butler last night and won. They beat Seton Hall by 20 at home, so they're not a walkover anymore. So I think the most frustrating part for people I hear from is that this team is just so limited by its ability to make shots that they have to have pretty much everything else go right on a game-to-game basis to win. And when you shoot as poorly as they did, I mean, you're just not going to beat a good team. But in terms of the parity and around the country, I mean, it's going to be, to me, it might be the most fun tournament we're going to have in quite some time. And I say that, and watch, we'll have, number one versus number two in every bracket in the Elite Eight. But that's kind of how these things tend to go. But I just think it's been fun to watch. You look at the home records of Big Ten teams in league play compared to other conferences. I think Big Ten teams have only lost, I think, 5 or 6 home games so far in conference. I think 3 of them have been Northwestern and Nebraska. So there's just no so far there hasn't been going on the road of winning. It makes holding serve at home court for Indiana of high importance if they want to get to the 8, 9, 10 Big Ten wins they're going to need to make the tournament.
Talking with Alex Bozich inside the hall here on a Thursday edition of the program. I want to go to our social media here. We've got a number of questions for you, and really everyone that I've got so far all centers around poor shooting of this team. Let's dig into that a little bit more here for just a second. One of the questions says that we were told that Demezi, Hunter, Rob were all good shooters. Was that wrong? And why can't the coaching staff develop shooters? I guess that is, I hate to get into the blame game here, but it's hard to go back and remember exactly a player's exact description coming out of high school, although shooting is kind of something that you either are or you aren't, and you know a player is coming in or they're not. But is, you know, Tom Crean had a reputation of being able to develop shooters. Let's just put that out there. Is this at all anything that goes back to the coaching staff when you see game after game of tough shooting performances and a lack of shooters on this team? Does any blame or any concern go to the staff about the shooting situation of this team, Alex?
I mean, it has to go to the staff because they're the ones who are in control of who's on the team, right, and who plays the minutes. So it's not totally their fault. It's not as simple as just saying it's one thing. What I'll say on that, you know, the first thing the question asked was about, you know, being told those guys were good shooters coming out of high school. Well, you know, most top 50, top 100 guys coming out of high school are going to put up pretty good stats. We don't always know the level of competition they're playing. We can watch video and kind of determine whether or not a guy's a scorer or a shooter or kind of both. But, you know, those guys were all pretty good in high school, but this is a different level. It doesn't always translate. It doesn't always click right away. I would say, and I've probably written this three or four or five times, if you read Five Takeaways after every game, to me, the biggest thing, it's one of two things, right? It's either they're not recruiting enough shooting, or they're not developing it or emphasizing it enough. I don't know which it is. If I had the answer, I'd be able to just, you know, say it and they'd be able to fix it. And I don't think they have the answer necessarily either, but it's, to me, they haven't brought in enough guys that can make perimeter shots clearly. And you can either get shooters one or two ways. You can either bring guys in who can make shots the minute they step on campus, or guys can come on campus and you can either develop them as a staff or they can get better on their own. You know, a lot has been made of Victor Oladipo and how he couldn't shoot when he got to IU. A lot of credit for his development has been given to the IU staff, which they deserve some of the credit. Some of the credit should also be given to Victor Oladipo for his willingness to be in the gym and working countless hours. The tough part for me to tell you what the exact problem is I don't know how much these guys are working and they're off in their spare time. You know, the staff only gets so much time to work with everybody, so we don't know which guys are putting in extra work, what guys are working on in their free time. But there's obviously something missing there, because last 2 years they were sub 300 in terms of their national rank in three-point shooting, and they're headed for another season with those type of numbers. I mean, right now in Big Ten play they're shooting 24.5% on threes. That's second worst in the league, only ahead of Illinois, and Illinois's got, I think, the second best defense in the Big Ten right now, so they've been able to overcome that. But, you know, I mean, if you can't shoot at all, can't make shots consistently, you're not going to have consistent results, and that's what we're seeing right now with this group.
It's interesting to me, and I think I read an article here the last couple of days about Rutgers that it talked about recognizing talent and not necessarily going for the top 50, the top 100 recruits, being able to look at a young man, figuring out how he would fit into your system, and figuring out how that young man will improve, how much, what's the ceiling for this young man playing at the D1 level. Is that, obviously that's part of the problem for teams that lose. Their coaches just don't realize how that young man's going to fit in. Is that part of the problem at IU? Is the players that we have aren't necessarily the players that would work best in Archie's system? And I know he's recruited a lot of top players across the country. They've just decided to go other places. So I realize that's part of the equation as well.
I mean, there's to me, there's a couple of ways to win at this level of college basketball. There's the Kentucky Duke model, which is basically get as many five stars as possible, reload every year, and then just, you know, put the most talent on the court and win games that way. That's only sustainable for, you know, two or three programs. So that's not what Indiana's going to be able to do right now. What I think most programs beyond that are successful. How they're successful is they recruit to a specific system, and then they get the best, you know, players for that system. Indiana right now, you know, it's upperclassmen. I don't know that Devontae Green or Deron Davis or even Al Durham or Justin Smith are guys that Archie Miller and his staff would have recruited on their own. Now, that's not to say that the staff is completely blameless for their development, because they have to have some part in that. But, you know, it is interesting that, you know, those guys have not been consistent as successful as some would hope in the system. And I think some of that comes down to fit. You know, with the interesting thing is that, you know, I think we get too caught up sometimes in recruiting rankings and numbers. You have to, if you're not going to get five-star kids, you got to get guys that are hungry and want to come in and get better and develop and be a part of something. You know, that's the biggest thing for me is the mentality. And you look at a team like Rutgers, I mean, I don't know the numbers specifically on their rankings for their guys. I can't imagine they have too many top 100 kids on that roster, but they play hard. I mean, you watch them, they're diving on the floor for every loose ball. They are mostly guys who have been overlooked and told that they weren't good enough to go to Seton Hall or another Big East school or, you know, whoever else is getting, you know, players in the DMV and New York areas. These are guys that have a chip on their shoulder. And I think a lot of times Indiana doesn't play with that chip. And I think that's another problem with some of how things have gone this season is, you know, you have to want it as much as the guy across the floor from you does. And there's been too many times this year where Indiana has just kind of looked like they're not the aggressor. I mean, Archie Miller said it last night in his post game is that, you know, Rutgers set the tone for the game and how the game was going to be played and controlled it. And Indiana didn't really do anything about it until you have the guys that are going to, particularly in the upper class, and have the leadership on the court that's going to set the tone. I think you're going to have what we're seeing, which is a team that can beat good teams at home, but they don't have the mental toughness, the fortitude to go on the road and beat anybody good at this point.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall here on a Thursday edition of the program. Nebraska is next. I said yesterday that obviously going on the road would be an interesting experiment with this team, and thankfully they were able to play well at home and get a win over Ohio State before this road trip began. But with that said, I did not think, and for reasons that you've made clear as well, I think Rutgers is good. I did not think that was an easy game on the road, or maybe not even a winnable game, to be quite honest, for Indiana on the road. I can't say the same about Nebraska. I feel like that's a game with where Indiana's at in the Big Ten, where they're going to be trying to get to the NCAA tournament, and what's still ahead on the schedule, even though it's on the road. That's a game Indiana needs to win. I'm curious how you see that one shaping up for Indiana as far as, is it a must-win game? Does it have to be their first road win of the season?
I don't view it as a must-win game, but it's the best chance for a road win the rest of the season. You know, the problem is, I mean, as much as Nebraska struggled and lost to some really bad teams at home, they've also beat Purdue and Iowa at home. So it's not like they're totally inept or incapable of beating somebody. And they took Indiana to overtime in Bloomington. So they're going to have some confidence, and they have nothing to lose. Their season's going nowhere. They're going to have a huge crowd like they normally do at home. They have, you know, a fan base that supports them. They have a great facility there. I've never been, but I've heard a lot of good things about it. And they're excited that they have Fred Hoiberg there. I think he's going to eventually do really good big things there. So, you know, it's Indiana's a better team. They've got the more talent, but it comes down to the mentality and the leadership and what Indiana aspires to be this season. If this team wants to reach its goal of making the tournament, this is a game they need to win. Now, I'm not saying if they lose that they're sunk or anything, but they're just going to – the more road games they lose, the more pressure they're putting on themselves to continue to hold serve at home. And you look at what's around the corner after this, they got Michigan State and Maryland back-to-back at home. I mean, I don't know that anybody's confident in saying that they're going to win both of those games. So you at least – if you win at Nebraska, you at least give yourself a little breathing room. I mean, There's, I think, I looked at it this morning, there's 9 teams on KenPom in the Big Ten projected to win between 9 and 11 conference games. Indiana's one of those teams. And so this is kind of one of those swing games where you've got to figure out a way to get it done if you want to, you know, be right in the middle of the pack of the league. Because at some point, Indiana's going to drop a home game. We've seen them lose at home to Arkansas. I just don't think it's realistic to run the table at home in this year's Big Ten. There's a lot of good teams that are going to be coming to the Assembly Hall later in the season. But I think it'd be a huge confidence boost if they could go on the road and win at Nebraska. But to be honest with you, I see it as a 50-50 game that could go either way. I just don't know what to say in terms of projecting with this team on a game-to-game basis, because they could come out and play really well and make, you know, 4 or 5 threes in the first half, and all of a sudden they're confident again, or they could come out and kind of be have their backs put up against the wall early and beaten. Purdue, that happened to them there. Iowa, that happened to them. I mean, it's not impossible to go to Nebraska and lose. So Indiana is going to have to show up and play well if they want to win.
I was reading some of the comments on your site this morning on Inside the Hall, and I noticed a couple of them telling Archie, quit recruiting Indiana kids. It apparently isn't working very well, which made me laugh, but also made me think about next year. You've got Anthony Leal and Galloway, is that right, coming
yeah.
in? Will those two help? They are known as shooters. I've seen Leal play a few times. I've never seen him have a great game. Galloway, I've only seen play the one time against Silver Creek in the state championship. So I really don't know a lot about either one of them. But as you look at those kids coming in, will they help, in your opinion, based on their high school play next year with Indiana shooting woes?
Hard to say. Galloway has been inconsistent as a perimeter shooter in high school. I mean, the strength of his game is more just his aggressiveness and driving to the basket. He's just a smart, heady player who's been coached by his dad, and he's just a tough kid. Leal is a good shooter, but is streaky. So we'll see. I mean, in many ways, not far off from Armon Franklin, who struggled in the perimeter this year. They're both kind of streaky shooters in high school. So, you know, I think more than anything else, those guys have to help from a mentality and toughness standpoint. They got to come in ready to work and ready to help kind of shore up some of this, you know, lack of leadership, particularly in the backcourt. I mean, Rob Finnessy's, I think, a guy that you can safely say that someone is going to be able to, over the course of his career, get better and improve. I think Al Durham is, you know, he's inconsistent, but he's had his moments. But I think he's a guy you can count on from time to time. And Armon Franklin, I think, is a guy that is capable at times. I mean, he had that big game against Notre Dame, but he's a freshman. And Indiana's guards have not been great this year, and they're bringing in two more guys that can kind of give them some more depth and more options. I think that's the big benefit more than anything else. But in terms of shooting, it's so hard to project what a guy's going to translate to in college. I mean, there was guys that have come out that you knew they were going to be able to make shots because that's basically what they did, like a Jordan Holes, but neither of these guys are that. So we'll see how they adjust, how they work when they get on campus, and ultimately we won't know until they step on the court. But I think they both have a chance, because I think just from watching them play and from just talking to them, I think their mentality is that, you know, they want to be successful. You don't always get the sense talking to kids that they're most worried about the team's success. It's more, you know, there's some guys you talk to, and if they go out and get 15 points, their team loses, they're fine with that. And there's other guys that if they score 2 but their team wins, they're happy. I think Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway are guys that, regardless of what their numbers will be, they just want to contribute to winning and help their team win.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Final question, Alex. Speaking of recruits in the 2020 class that are committed, signed for Indiana, we obviously hear and see a lot more about Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway because they're here in the state. We don't hear or see as much about Jordan Geronimo, who's at St. Paul's School and playing up east in prep school basketball. But I saw some highlights of him come through on social networks here recently. He had a big game, but he also had some humongous dunks in a recent game. I'm not sure exactly your thoughts on him for next year as well, but I know he's been playing well recently.
Yeah, he seems like a guy that's, you know, a late bloomer and someone who has a ton of talent that's going to have to be developed. So, I mean, I think the big thing about this whole group is, you know, as excited as people are about all three guys, I just don't know that there's that instant impact Trace Jackson Davis, Romeo type kid in this grouping. Obviously, they're not in the same class from a ranking perspective. And so I think Indiana, what's most intriguing to me is we move into the spring here and, you know, eventually 2 months, 2.5 months from now will be in the offseason. Are they going to do anything else to add to this 2020 class, whether it be via the grad transfer route or a shooter or a point guard of some kind? I think that's a pretty big need going into next season. They need to figure out what their needs are and address those needs, because you can't go into another season without having guys that can then make perimeter shots. And right now, I think that would be a mistake to just kind of rely on what you have coming back. And those three guys, I think they need to look outside, whether it be the grad transfer route for a shooter, whether it be another ball handler or a guy that can create plays for others. I mean, that's another thing. You look at their guards right now, they don't really have anybody that can consistently get into the lane and set other people up. So that's something they need to address. So I think it's a solid three-man class. I think Geronimo's got a ton of upside, but I would be cautious on kind of setting expectations for any of those three guys too high going into next season.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex always joins us Thursdays as we talk IU basketball. Thanks for the chat today, and we'll talk with you again next week.
All right, thank you.
We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back, Lee Kelly and I, to wrap things up here on this Thursday program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment here on this Thursday program. Lee Kelly is with me in studio. Lee, we were talking over the commercial break. I know we spend a lot of time on IU and on Southern Indiana stuff, which is what this show is for, to be a little different from everything else out there. But the wide world of sports, it's been crazy here. The crazy meter has been going off the last few days.
It really has. I you know, watched the college football championship game, and then the next morning I start seeing little reports about Odell Beckham Jr. handing out cash to LSU players after the game, and I thought it was a joke.
Yeah, I thought it was not, what do you call it, fake, you know, like,
yeah,
fake money.
Fake money,
you
know? Yeah, same thing I thought. And the early reports, I think, said that, and then Joe Burrow comes out and goes, no, it's real cash. I've got it right here to show you. And then I guess LSU jumped on the phone and called the NCAA and say, you know, this is new ground for us. What do we do? We're not affiliated with this guy. He just handed out cash. And I haven't heard any late reports because I don't think the NCAA knows what to do. You know, crazy times that we live in right now.
Yeah, no question about it. But, boy, what a game Monday. Oh. I didn't talk a lot about it, but LSU – what a team, and Burrow, what a player.
Yeah, and of course, they're going to have a lot of rebuilding. A lot of those younger guys are going to leave early for the NFL, and don't blame them. You know, they're at the peak of as popular as they're going to be. And Burrow, the good news is he's the Heisman Trophy winner, and he's probably going to be the number one pick. The bad news is the Bengals have the number one pick, so that's your reward for having the season you had. But I thought it was a good football season. IU went to a bowl game, probably should have won that bowl game, but nonetheless had a good season, had a number of wins above and beyond what they normally have had the last few years, seemed to be on a roll. They've already replaced their offensive coordinator for next year, and so hopefully good things coming up for IU football.
Interesting to see, and we talked with Mike Pegram about this on Tuesday, but it was interesting to see Indiana State in-house with the OC hire. coming off the kind of season they had, and obviously as impactful as the last offensive coordinator was for Indiana. You know, you wondered who they could get, who might be interested. Felt like that was a big hire. And again, all reports, including what Pig had to say earlier this week, is that you know, the new hire has kind of earned his keep and made his way through the program and is deserving of this position. But that was interesting to see, and that's obviously such a big part of a football team and a big hire for IU to kind of start the offseason. An offseason I think will be one where we probably talk more IU football than what we normally do in the offseason. I think there's already a little uptick there and excited about this team moving forward.
I agree, and I thought the reasoning that Tom Allen gave for promoting from within, he wanted to keep that same offense moving forward. Had a lot of players coming back and didn't want to switch gears to some type of different offense with different terminology. I thought that made a lot of sense, and if this young man, apparently everything I've read, he's paid his dues, worked under the previous coordinator, I think it was probably a good move.
And one more crazy world of sports note before we get out of here for today, Bobby Petrino returning to college football at Missouri State. So that's kind of interesting when you think about where things are at, and definitely an interesting hire there. For Missouri State. We'll see how Coach Petrino does at his new home. Lee, always great to have you with us. Thanks for coming in, and you can catch Lee Kelly with me Thursdays here on the program, and enjoy the weekend. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. I'll be back tomorrow on Friday, 11 a.m., the live program. We've got Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk more IU basketball, get ready for the game against Nebraska on the road. Also, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. No John Spears today. He is out, but I'll be back tomorrow at 11 here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.